Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
And I'm Molly Bay. So we've got a few changes from the last podcast that we did. We did some roster moves since then. Remember the last podcast we had waived Javian Elliott. Well, we brought him back and put him on the practice squad. The trade deadline is approaching, and Jason Light has apparently talked Cutter about the trade deadline, and if players, Cutter was really vague on what they talked about, so apparently Jason Light is working behind the scenes.
Well, we'll find out about that. Wouldn't be too angry if we got Patrick Peterson, so. We shall see.
You think so? Like, I worry about that because we got Revis, the biggest hyped cornerback in the league, and it was like a big deal. He came to Tampa, and then he just did nothing.
Yeah, it seems to happen a lot with Tampa.
Yeah.
But Revis was coming off an injury, and who knows? Who knows? Patrick Peterson, you know, they're talking about Arizona saying they're not trading him, so we'll see.
He's the only decent person on their team left.
Well, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, but he's a hail in his ear.
That's what they say. They've been saying
every
that for a
year,
decade.
He should have retired, though.
And the running back, David Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Hype train. Done nothing. A lot of people are talking about we're on pace to surpass the greatest show on turf.
Really?
So it's like over 7,000 yards total, with 5,000 of them being passing yards. That was the original greatest show on turf. So we're at about 3,000. I don't know how we're going to do it.
I think we can do it. I mean, we pop off some offense. It's so strange being a Buccaneers fan. You know, the whole time I've been a Buccaneers fan, it's all been about the defense. This is the first time we've ever had a legitimate, lethal offense.
And I think they were talking that the four best Bucs offenses statistically, I think four of them had been Cutter, like four or five.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really brought offense to the Tampa Bay. Though, you know, I'm a big defense guy. I like defense. You know, the offense is kind of thrilling, but I prefer defense.
They're fun, but it's just where the league is going now.
Yeah.
With the offenses and how they're penalizing the defense, you know, and they're really tailoring the penalties.
Yeah, it's going to switch to the running game soon, though, I think, because a lot of teams are going to, you know, getting rid of these big, large defensive linemen and big, large linebackers, and as soon as that's pretty much done all across the league, some genius coach is going to come out and say, hey, how about if we run the ball? And they're just going to tear everybody up because there ain't going to be nobody to stop them.
I think that's true. I mean, you're already seeing these running backs that are just demolishing teams, like Kamara in New Orleans. You've got Gurley in Los Angeles.
Melvin Gordon. Yeah.
They got a few.
Yeah.
It's not the trend for sure.
No, it's not. And Kamara's more of a pass-catching running back, too. You don't have any of these big bruisers. Melvin Gordon's pretty tough.
Yeah.
But that New York running back.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, he's pretty tough, too. Mm. But they're few and far between anymore, and most people are going with the running back by committee and all that stuff. So you don't get these bell cows as much. It kills you in fantasy football, for sure.
It does, as I'm finding out this year.
If you don't get a bell cow in the first round, you're done. But yeah, our offense is really, it's something that I don't think fans, they take it for granted, you know, because it's been a slow building process, so they don't see it really. But we have the best offense in the league, you know, as far as yards per game. We are number one. Points per game, we're eighth.
So we just need to finish.
Yeah, we need to. But a lot of it is our field position. You know, like with the Browns, you know, we had a terrible field position almost the whole game. I mean, we had two drives where we started within the five. Yeah, so we're not getting good field position. And the Browns had great field position. They had like three drives that started in on our side of the field.
Wow.
So we're getting a lot of yards. We're just not getting as many points as we should for those yards.
That makes
sense. It also doesn't help that our kickers keep missing. You know, if we had kickers that were getting their 3 points and their conversions, then we'd probably be leading the league in points per game.
How many miss?
I don't know. Two?
Yeah.
Too many.
So with the greatest show on turf stat, you know, Cutter and Winston, they were asked about it and both have the same line. They don't really care about the stats or looking up stats. They're more interested in the wins.
Good.
And putting up points.
good. Don't pay attention to them stats. They ain't going to help you win.
But doesn't it kind of have to feel good? I mean, wasn't the grass shown on turf, those Rams, the one that beat the Bucks in the championship?
In the NFC championship, yeah.
So it's
one of the greatest NFC championships ever played.
New Orleans has beat them in this stat. But wouldn't it be kind of apropos for us to beat them?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that feel a little good?
Let's do it. And I want to beat them in the playoffs this year, too.
Ooh, they're tough.
Oh, man.
Don't we play them?
Yeah, we play them. We looked at it last night.
Yeah, like week 11 or
week
something.
Week 11. We play the Rams, guys. That is going to be... No, wait. That wasn't us. That was... We were talking about the Rams playing Kansas City.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, man. That's going to be a good game there.
Yeah, but I think that we play them.
She's bringing up the schedule now.
I'm bringing up the schedule.
We should know this by heart.
I know.
Don't you have it tattooed on you somewhere?
No, we don't play them. Yeah, that must have been Kansas City we were looking at.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game.
Yeah, interesting. I think Rams.
I do too. I don't think anybody can beat the Rams right now. They're just stacked.
Yeah. It's so much easier to beat an offensively good team with a defensive. If you have a good offense and a really bad defense, it's easier to beat you than if you've got a solid defense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, solid defense. In the championship game, 1999, against the Rams, we had the number one defense and the number one offense.
Okay.
And it was an awesome game. We held them. They normally scored 30 points a game or something like that. I think we held them to 9 or 11. It was just a knockdown drag. And that's what you want to see. You want to see monster defenses going up against monster offenses.
Yeah.
And usually the defenses win in situations.
Yeah.
We didn't that day thanks to I can't remember the name of the receiver that made the catch. The whole rule was named after him. It touched the ground. He caught the ball, but it touched the ground, and they called it incomplete. Yeah, that was the start of this whole, is it a catch or is it not a catch crap that we've been going through for 20 years.
Yeah, we sure have. So, interesting tidbit for the week. Marvin Lewis and Dirk Cutter are actually really good friends.
How'd that happen?
They played together in college at Idaho State. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know Cutter played.
I didn't either. He's a small guy. I wonder what position he had to be on the offense.
Kicker.
No way. Has there ever been a kicker that became an NFL coach? I need to know.
Well, you know, I've always thought about getting my son to be a kicker. Or
there
punter.
You
know, I mean, yeah, they're making, some of them make millions, some of them, but, league minimum, $500,000. I'd be happy with that. Kid ain't going to get hurt. What, you got to tackle somebody twice a year?
It's always funny when you see the kickers trying to chase somebody down.
Yeah. Our kicker missed Peppers on the return last week. Yeah, he was one of the four
Chandler.
missed, I don't think it was Chandler, was it? Is he our punter?
No. Brian Anger.
Anger missed the tackle.
Oh, my god!
I think he was the fourth man that missed.
He's lanky, though. He's so tall.
Yeah. I don't want him getting hurt. He's the best person on our team. I love Brian. Angry Brian. Anger.
So, Marvin and Cutter, Dirk. Marvin Lewis actually introduced Dirk to his future wife.
Well.
That, hooked him up.
Now we know Dirk really wants to beat Marvin. He wants to trounce Marvin. I don't know. They probably got a good marriage. Who knows?
And Cutter was in Marvin Lewis's wedding.
Get out of here.
And Lewis's daughter was the flower girl in Dirk's wedding.
Wow.
They go way back.
Huh.
So Jenna Lane, of course, asked a 5-minute question, delving into this. And he cut her off and was like, we got to wrap this up within 15 minutes, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Jenna Lane, so how do you feel?
It was one of those. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's really interesting to know.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. It's amazing how all these coaches are tied together. Marvin Lewis comes from the Dungy Tree.
Mm.
And he's been, how long has he been coach of the Bengals? A decade now? He's
got to
be the longest tenured coach. Well, besides Belichick.
Yeah, probably. And every year, I think they cry for him to get fired because he just can't take them
past
the playoffs.
Him. Yeah.
I mean, but they make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
In a really tough division.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like Dungy. He can get you there, but he can't get you over the hump.
Yeah. The injury report, not a lot has changed since the last podcast we did. JPP, Peyton Barber, and Dotson were all on the injury report, but they're going to play.
Yeah.
Probably. Well, in the press conferences, it wasn't clear whether Peyton Barber was going to play, but...
I heard today he was playing.
He is? Yeah. Okay.
And JPP are definitely playing.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
So then Dotson probably playing. Curry and McCoy, they're both ruled out already.
Still?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe they don't want to play in that.
I can blame them. It's supposed to be in the 50s and raining from what I
heard. Gross. Yeah. Does Florida ever see that? Like the dead of winter, right?
I have no idea. They see a lot of rain.
Yeah.
When I lived down there, it never got cold. Yeah.
50s?
Low 60s, I think. Yeah, maybe in the 50s. I can't remember, but it wasn't often.
Right. Yeah. Those were probably the days they whipped out their winter coats and snow boots. They don't
have winter coats down there.
Two sweatshirts.
Definitely don't have.
Two hoodies.
Two pair of swim trunks. Two pair of sandals.
So Cincinnati is going to be super cold. And fun fact, the Bengals actually have more people that are ruled out on their injury report than we actually have on the injury report.
Wow.
So they're missing 6 players will be out, a 7th is doubtful, and then they've got like 5 others on the injury report. I'll name the ones that are out. Giovanni Bernard, Vontaze Burfict.
Good, man. At least he ain't going to be killing nobody.
Yeah. Quarterback Darquez Dernard. Tight end Tyler Croft and a wide receiver John Ross. I don't know who that dude. And then their center Billy Price is doubtful. So
we've got 2 offensive tackles out.
Yeah, and the center doubtful.
Are those starters?
I don't know.
No, Billy Price is a rookie. He's behind Trey Hopkins.
Yeah,
the center.
So they'll be fine without him.
Yeah.
Just no depth. They don't have any depth.
Yeah, Jake Fisher's a backup for Cordy Glenn at left tackle, and Bobby Hart is a starting right tackle. Okay. So that means...
Bell?
That means Nassib's going to have a good day tomorrow, or Sunday, hopefully.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
which... 2 straight in a row, and that was a former division of
his. Yeah. Hopefully he dislikes them as much as he did Cleveland. Speaking of which, I said after watching the All-22 that JPP was slightly better than, Nassib. But I give Nassib the better marks on that because JPP went up against a rookie that whole game. Their left tackle was a rookie.
Why would they do that?
I don't think the Cleveland Browns coaching staff is really smart. I'm just going to lay that out there. I might be the only person that's ever said that. Going out on a limb. Also, I want to correct the last podcast. I said Rojo was 6'1". He's not. He's 5'11".
Okay.
Still big for a running back, though.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, their offensive line is middle of the pack. Nothing spectacular, so we should be able to do some stuff. I want to cover a couple different things about the Browns game that we didn't talk about. One thing I want to talk about, it was at Tampa. We darn, the stands didn't look empty.
Really?
Yeah. I hate that. It was like the Atlanta game the week before.
Yeah.
It looked 2/3 full, and Tampa looked about the same, especially the club level. Club level, really.
Really?
Yeah. You Tampa fans, get out there and support the team, man.
Especially
go to the games.
An easy win like that.
Easy win.
Well, you thought it was going to be an easy win going into it.
Yeah, let's fill them seats up, fans. Let's do that. Our defense had very few penalties in that game. I can only recall 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And they were bull crap.
Yeah. One was like a pass interference for like 24 yards.
And yeah. And that was kind of complete
probably
bunk.
The ball.
Yeah. Browns definitely helped us with their penalties. What'd they have? 14 penalties?
Something for over 100 yards.
Yeah. Ridiculous. We talked about how the defense changed. They were playing more man coverage and not giving that cushion that they were with Mike Smith. But another thing I noticed too is that they were swarming to the ball and tackling better.
Oh.
It wasn't a huge significant difference, but you could definitely tell that there was more guys going towards the ball and they were tackling just a little bit harder. So that's always a good thing you want to see.
And that'll help us in Cincinnati, too.
Hopefully it'll help us going forward with everybody. So our defense did good tackling. We swarmed to the ball. We contained Chubb pretty well, I thought. And our linebackers stepped up and played, which these are all things we've talked about needed to happen. And they did well. I think they did really good considering the field position that the Browns kept getting. They really went out there and did what we needed them to do. Didn't get any interceptions or turnovers. That one where David knocked the ball out of Mayfield's hand wasn't considered a turnover, but I'll take it.
We converted on downs.
Yeah, we converted on downs. We are last in the league in turnovers or in interceptions. We've only got one.
Wow.
The only other team that only has one, I think, is the 49ers.
Ugh.
Yeah. So we're down there with them in that aspect. I think we're going to turn that around. Let's talk about our number one draft pick, Vita Vea. Ian Beckles said on his podcast that Warren Sapp told him that Vita Vea was the worst defensive lineman he's ever seen. I have to disagree with Sapp on this. And I can understand where he's coming from, because Vita Vea does have a tendency to not get off his blocks quick enough. It's almost like he's not he's aware of what's going on around him, but he's just slow in doing his executable moves. But I think that's just a product of not playing in the preseason. And he was definitely better last week with that. He actually got on the stat board with a few tackles, tackle and a half, I think. But I really like the guy, man. Watching him, I enjoy watching him play. He is strong, man, I tell you, and fast for his size. You know, he runs down runners from behind. You don't see that with guys that big. But yeah, he's just strong, and they're going to have to block him with two people most of the time. And it's still, as a matter of fact, he had a play against the Browns where he split a double team and got in the back.
Wow.
So you're going to see a lot of that too. So I would have to disagree with Warren Sapp. I think Vita Vea is going to be a force to be reckoned with on our defensive line, and I give like two thumbs up for that draft pick. But I understand where he's coming from. I think it was Ian Beckles called him Velcro, Velcro Vea, because when he gets locked up in a block, he stays there too long and the runner will run right past him or whatever. And this is true. But it almost seems like Vea is more into the challenge of the blocking than he is actually stopping the runner right now. It's kind of like he wants to prove himself to the offensive lineman. I mean, he's out there throwing those guys around like rag dolls, pushing them back 5 yards into the quarterback. And I think he's just focused on that right now. And he's not focused on actually stopping the play.
But. Well, and it's such a different pace than when you're in college. So much faster.
Oh,
you're going against the best, fastest, strongest. And they've been doing it years longer than you have.
Right.
So they're used to it. He's still kind of getting his footing, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some great things from him. I really do. I saw him jump up to bat a ball down.
What?
Yeah, and he got, I don't know, maybe 4 inches off the ground. He can't jump. I'll say that about him. He's not a jumper.
Good effort, though.
Yeah, at least he tried.
Yeah.
On to the Bengals. I think we're going to have an interesting contest here. Here's what I think we need to do. Andy Dalton is a very precise quarterback. He kind of reminds me of Matt Ryan in a sense. He's not near as precise as Matt Ryan, but he will throw to receivers in stride. But the big dangerous thing with Andy Dalton is he will throw to a receiver that's completely covered. He doesn't care. When he picks who he's going to throw to, he throws to him. It doesn't matter. He could be in triple coverage. He don't care. He will throw it. And we're going to have to be careful of that, because our guys, we were all over the Browns receivers. We draped them good, but that's not going to matter. They're going to throw. Yeah, Andy Dalton's going to throw at his receivers, whether we're draped on them or not.
So we need a good pass defense. Like, we need guys in there smacking balls out.
Yes. Our linebackers are going to be key again for the pressure on the quarterback, but also on being able to stand in that midsection and bat balls down.
Yeah, because he likes to throw to his tight ends, too.
Yes. Yeah, he picks who he wants, and he just throws. He doesn't care who's covering him. So if our guys can stick to the receivers and be aware of that the ball's going to come, even if you're right on top of them, they can turn their heads around. We can get some interceptions out of this.
Oh, okay.
Because Andy Dalton's the kind of guy, you can get a lot of interceptions off of him.
Yeah.
Play your cards right. And I don't know if zone's better with him or man. I would go with man, because you're right there. With zone, you know, you're kind of counting on being able to scare the quarterback into not throwing at that guy because he sees you standing nearby.
Right. Yeah, no, I think you can play me.
Yeah, Andy Dalton don't care.
Yeah.
He does not care. You could be riding on the receiver's shoulders and he's going to throw it to the receiver. It's a strange phenomenon with him. So we got to do that with our secondary. Now, Mixon is going to give us problems. Our linebackers are going to have to be on top of him. Now, Adarius Taylor is probably going to be assigned to watch Mixon, and that's going to be tricky. I don't know how Taylor's going to do with that responsibility. I'd rather see David on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see how they do that. But normally it'd be Quan Alexander.
Right.
But Mixon, man, he is shifty and he can jump and he is fast.
Is he strong? Like, is he getting yards? Is he running with guys on top of him?
Not necessarily.
Not really.
Yeah, he's more of an avoidance runner.
Agile.
Yeah. Huh. Their defense, not too scared of. They got Geno Atkins. He's a force to be reckoned with. And he's probably going to be going up against Benenock all day long.
No.
Benenock and Evans. That's going to be a problem.
Ugh.
They better shift Jensen and Dotson. And he's good. We need to keep a running back. Our running backs are excellent pass block, excellent protection guys. They really are. Jacquizz Rodgers, Peyton, and even Rojo, they're back there. Their running back coach has really got them doing some efficient blocking. So we need to keep one in at all times, I think, you know, just because of Geno Atkins. Other than him, I'm not really worried about anybody else.
What's his size like size-wise?
Atkins?
Yeah.
He's smaller. You're talking about McCoy?
That's what I was thinking.
Comparing him to McCoy?
Yeah. I mean, but then isn't that kind of what you want in a 3-4? Doesn't he fit that scheme better? Or is that just play style?
I don't know. I know I've heard he's extremely strong. He gets leverage. He gets up under the guy's pads and pushes them. Okay. You know, he's not that shifty like McCoy is, fast and shifty. He more goes on strength.
Okay.
But if we don't get help with our right guard position there, he's going to eat them up all day long.
I need to put a tight end over there.
If we could.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
The whole day.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably do a lot of pulling with Ali Marpet and have him clear up the backfield.
So Jameis needs to be hyper aware of Atkins basically at all times. Like he needs to throw the ball faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think we're going to have much of a problem with getting our receivers the ball either, as far as that. I mean, they don't have a cornerback crew that's really that scary. They actually have a rookie at free safety. Dre Kirkpatrick, he's okay. But other than that, yeah, we're gonna be able to go up and down the field on him in the passing game.
Well, Dre Kirkpatrick, he's on the injury report. He's not out, but he's banged up.
Okay, that'll help.
So
us
they're basically
bit.
All like their whole team is injured.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say I'm mad about it.
Right. Yeah.
Get well, guys, but not until
next
Sunday.
Week. Yeah. Oh yeah, Michael Johnson.
Oh, Michael Johnson.
Michael Johnson.
Yep, we get to reunite with him again.
Yeah. Remember, he was at Cincinnati for a while, like 5 years or something,
mm-hmm.
and then he came to the Bucks for a year. Totally stunk up the joint at defensive end.
Useless.
So useless. So bad.
He just came for a paycheck. He got a big one too.
Yeah, and then the very next year he went back to Cincinnati, and he's still there. He's second string though.
The ownership in the front office love him though. Don't know why.
At Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love him. So we'll get to see him. Now, is he? He's not the starting right end. He's the
right.
Okay, so
backup.
Yeah, so we got Carlos Dunlap on their line, Andrew Billings, Geno Atkins, Jordan Willis. I'm not really concerned about any of them. Carlos Dunlap is pretty decent. Geno Atkins is good, but I just think we're going to be able to score whenever we want to, basically. Yeah, whenever we get the ball. This could be one of those games where it comes down to who has the ball last.
Okay.
Wins the game.
Right.
Because, I mean, if our defense locks it down like they did against the Browns, then we got this game easy. But it's most likely going to be a relatively high-scoring game where they're throwing it up in the air, we're throwing it up in the air, and it comes down to who can throw it up in the air last. I mean, our offense, like I said, is still top in the league, but the Bengals are eighth. So,
oh, wow.
That's points per game. The yards per game, I think they're like 25th.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I might have that backwards. That doesn't sound right. Their defense isn't much better, though. I mean, we're last place in points allowed. The Bengals are 28th.
Oh.
You're right. So, you know, it's the battle of the have-nots there.
Right. This might be a repeat of Atlanta. You know?
Right.
We're all kind of similarly matched.
Yeah, very similarly matched. Although I think we're better in the wide receiver. I don't think anybody in the league is as good as we are wide receiver-wise.
Yeah.
And the stats show that, too. We're 24th in sacks. And we're last in interception. We're also 29th in yards per game, but they're 31st in yards per game.
Okay.
Yeah, so their defense is not much better than ours.
Yeah.
I would say they're about the same.
Right.
And our defense looks like it's getting better, hopefully. We had the one game that showed some promise. Hopefully that'll continue.
I think it will. So do you have us winning this game?
Of course. Come on now. The Buccaneers. Yeah, I think we're going to win it. I think it's going to be 31-28.
Okay. That sounds like a good score. I want to pick that one too.
You know, last time I picked same score as you, you were all like,
I'm saying, I think the Bucs are going to win. I'm going to go 24-27.
It's not that high scoring.
No.
Okay. I was actually thinking about going higher. I was like 38, 31 or something. I think it's going to be up there. Yeah. But, you know, if it's rainy up there like it's supposed to be, that's really going to hurt the pass game a lot. And that's going to help them a lot because they got Mixon. We ain't got, you know, we got Peyton Barber and
maybe Rojo.
Rojo, I want to see him. I want to see him get some more touches. I want to see what he's got.
Yeah. I think they're gaining confidence in him, and I think he's getting more confident.
That's what I heard. The Pewter Report was talking about his confidence level has really gone up now, and they think he's about ready for, you know, 10, 15 touches a game.
Okay.
Apparently he had real low confidence in his game at the beginning of the year.
Huh. Yeah. Enough that they wouldn't start
him. Yeah, that surprised me that they didn't start him for the first few games. Or, you know, was he even on the active roster?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think the first few games he wasn't suited up or nothing. Yeah, it's very strange for a draft pick that.
Well, another one is Alex Kappa. Somebody asked about him today, and apparently he hasn't really been active. And so,
man, I'd like to see
him. In the season, yeah, but they're still saying, like, he's getting better, but they just don't know whether.
I just can't see him being any worse than Benenuk.
I know.
And Benenuk, I love you. I want you to stay a Buccaneer, but you need some more practice. Get your head on a swivel, man. Don't let those guys run past you, and don't fall for that swim move all the time.
Like some judo defense or something, right?
Yeah. Start taking some guys down with leg sweeps or something. I don't know. Take a stick out there.
Well, he's a huge guy.
Big guy, and he's strong, apparently.
And he's strong. He needs to play to his strength.
Yeah. All right, so that'll wrap it up. If you want to get in touch with either one of us, Molly's email is mollybay@buccaneersobserver.com. My email is ralph@buccaneersobserver.com. You can find us on Twitter @bucks_observer, or you can visit our website at buccaneersobserver.com. See all the content we have on there, latest podcasts and whatnot. And we will probably not have another podcast until Sunday evening or Monday. We'll have a reaction video, probably an immediate reaction podcast. We like doing those. So I think we'll keep them up. We're seriously thinking about doing a podcast every day or at least 5 days a week because there's just so much information and we get tired of trying to cram everything into one podcast. So if you all want to shoot us an email or get in touch with us, let us know if you think that's a good idea. If you'd like to hear us do more podcasts, let us know. And until then,
go Bucks!